What's up, basement dwellers? Welcome to another edition of the Jersey Fanatics, formerly the Jersey Bullies. I'm being joined, as always, by Mr. Eric Barrezzo.
Hi.
By Mr. Tyler Freed.
Stop.
And I'm Chris, the Daceman Dace, and we're going to be talking about the 2024 Philly season, which kicks off hopefully Thursday, unless Mother Nature's a bitch, and then it's Friday. So we'll see what happens. What a lackluster offseason. So let's start with that. The Phillies went and extended a lot of their existing players, so we're going to have a very old team in a few years. But let's get our feelings on how the offseason went by not making a big splash on the free agency market, but making big splashes on the extension market. I'll start with you, Eric.
Well, as we know, I was very dead set on getting Yoshi. That did not happen. And now look, the Dodgers are going through a little bit of crisis because their star player is a gambling addict. Heard it here first. It's his fault. Not IP or IPay or whatever his name is. Not him at all. It's all Shohei. But anyway, so that's who I wanted.
That's heroes.
So that's who I wanted. That obviously didn't happen. Then I turned my attention to Jordan Montgomery, and then he just literally 2 seconds ago signed, thanks for the news, Tyler, but signed with the D-bags. So that kind of hurts.
And well, then, the good thing with Yoshi is he had a bad outing in Seoul.
He got crushed.
So hopefully that's a sign of things. And like you said with Ohtani going to the Dodgers and getting Pete Rose, but getting a pass because he used an interpreter, that's good. go on more with your – sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off about your free agency.
No, you're fine.
There's an interesting note I want to talk about after you get done your free agency spiel.
I just was expecting to do more. Not like – I wanted one starting pitcher, and I wanted like at least two more bullpen pitchers. They seemed – everyone's ranking them as the best bullpen in baseball. Kind of crazy. I know Tyler yells at me all the time that I shouldn't take into effect about what happens in spring training, but they went 9-15. They had the most ties because they were blowing leads. Majority of those blown leads were our bullpen pieces. So it's not really that it was the AAA people or the AA people that were blowing all of them. It was our guys that are going to be in the big leagues and going to be on the team. So that I wanted more. And like you said, all they did was they brought back Wheeler, which is amazing. He wasn't leaving, but we signed him again. We signed Nola again. We signed Strom again. So, like, we brought back all the same players that we had, and there was really no upgrades. So I don't know. It's the same team as last year, and obviously we all know how that ended. Fizzled out again in the playoffs. So I wanted something more, especially, like, an outfielder too. Like, I would have wanted that. We got rid of Jake Cave.
Hold on. Time out. Patrick, you want more outfield? We have an outfield clusterfuck.
But I wanted somebody that's more dependable, like a Cody Bellinger. You know, that would have been more dependable than what Rojas and Pache can give you. Because Rojas can't give you anything. He can give you defense. Well, I shouldn't say anything. He can give you defense.
They went out and got Whit Merrifield. That's a dependable player.
I forgot that we actually did something.
he's a dependable player. He's a player that goes out. He's going to give you, we'll say 280. I know he had a rough stretch at the end of the year. He's between 280, 300 hitter all the time. He gets fucking hits after hit after fucking hit. So putting him in the 8, 9, 7 spot, wherever he falls in the lineup, that's a dependable person. Not to mention he could play second. He could play third. He could play left, right, center, wherever you put him, he can play, and he plays them pretty well.
He's also 38.
I do think it's interesting that the Phillies did something this offseason where they kind of backloaded with veterans in AAA. We got, Dahl, Luplo. I thought there was a third guy they signed, too. A lot of position players that have been around the league and, like, journeyman, like Cave was. But I thought that was interesting. They didn't go out and get the Cody Bellinger, but they went and got, like
– they got that Spencer Turnbull. Who's going to be our fifth starter?
So
until Taiwan Walker or whatever is back.
They went out and did that because I mean you got to think about it. Like we have Scott, we have a good influx of young players along with the veterans. So I feel like it's not really gonna, like, I just feel like we needed more veterans at this point. I mean, I get a lot of the young guys have more to grow, but you get AAA veterans because they're not really going to push, you know, Marsh out of his spot, or they're not going to push Stott out of his spot, or Boehm or whoever, but they're going to push him to play a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about the offseason moves? Granted, not a big splash on the free agency market, but big splash on the extensions.
I mean, I feel like saying we didn't get a big splash is kind of underrating that, because we re-signed Nola. Like, Nola was the free agent to get. Yes, mm-hmm. We re-signed him and he was ours, but imagine if we lost Nola. Like, that's losing. We lost Nola. What pitcher were we going to go out and get that's going to replace Nola numbers? Like, actual hit, because I don't believe we would have signed Snell.
Well, that's the interesting thing on the free agent market for the pitchers, that they all ended up on one-year deals. Like, a lot of the free agents this year had, like, a lot of opt-outs.
Except for Nola. Nola's the only one that got paid this offseason, and that's mm-hmm. for a reason. So, I mean, I think I'm content with our offseason. I mean, we weren't really going to do much offensively. You could have added maybe another bat or two for the bench, but, I mean, they're really Merrifield's good enough. He's going to be a utility guy. I mean, think about it. Merrifield's going to play the role of Josh Harrison last year. So what an upgrade that is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Castro.
And, oh, I mean, Castro didn't play a role at all. He belonged down in AAA. He was just there just to be a bench filler.
Mm-hmm. And to get rid of Bailey Falter for whatever reason.
He didn't fill that bench at all.
He was a water cooler.
I think Tywon Walker was. But there's still some good players out there. You know, Vinny Velo is still out there. Yeah.
Thor's out there. Huh? Thor's out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, he can also stay out there. I don't get what your guys' obsession with these shit-ass pitchers are.
Gimmicks. I was a wrestling fan before I was a baseball fan. So if you got a gimmick, sign him.
I guess that's fair.
Bring in Trevor Bauer, the greatest heel in baseball right now.
I actually think that we should, personally.
You gave Abdul a fucking second chance. Why can't you give Bauer?
Well, especially considering Bauer actually proved his innocence. Abdul mm-hmm. never really proved his innocence. He just did – the person dropped the charges.
Yeah.
According to what I'm seeing on Twitter is that there's a lot of stories that haven't come out that have gone directly to the commissioner's desk, and that, like, women have apparently showed up to the commissioner's office and have gone over stuff that has happened. And I think that's kind of why he's being blackballed. So I don't really know that it's, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent in this world now. So you don't really know what truly happened or anything like that. But if any of the stuff is true, you're done.
Well, listen, there's obviously something that's not being narrated to the public, because, I mean, if Trevor Bauer is half of who he was, someone had to assign him, but mm-hmm. he's got all the drama behind him. So that's why they probably are just either teams are waiting for that to get cleared up, and then they're going to sign him in midseason and hope it just kind of, you know, goes along with the season and that's it. But I don't know. I mean, I would sign him as far as what's out in the public now, and is, you know, he was proven innocent in the situation that he was essentially suspended for and kicked out of the league for. But, I mean, he might have other shit. Who knows? But he can win baseball games, so let's do it.
What about Mike Clevinger? He's still a free agent.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. You don't remember him? What was it? Game 4 of the NLDS? He absolutely got rocked. He was with the Padres.
No.
That was the game that we went down 4-0, and then we ended up coming back by the second inning.
Yeah.
Clevinger's fucking trash. I don't want him. Honestly, there's really no – I mean, Montgomery is like the last, you know, fish out there that I was like, oh, yeah, let's go get him.
Yeah, I was just saying the top 10 free agents that are still out there. Vinny Velo is number 8. Thor is number 10.
And that's how you can tell there ain't shit out there.
Mike Clevinger is number 2.
Fuck.
So is like Vinny better than Thor just because he didn't have the surgery?
I guess, probably. Yeah.
He still got the velocity. Thor ain't got shit.
Yeah. So, did they ever say what happened with the thing? Like, he put on a whatever Cole Hamels did 2 years ago. Did they ever say, like, how he did with it?
No idea.
Okay.
I don't follow Thor. You're the fanboy for Thor.
Again, gimmicks, man. Total gimmicks. So, for pitching-wise, to your point, we talked about Nola getting the 7-year deal. It was 7, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wheeler got extended for 3 more years to avoid anything that we'd have to do with him next winter. And we also went and extended Strom for another year, possibly 2. How do you feel about those extensions?
Obviously, you're going to love the Wheeler extension. And it's only 3 years. He said that he doesn't want to pitch into his 40s. So you're going to get the best of him out of the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really hold us up with that, you know, I guess that ace money for too long. And then Strom, he was a good piece towards the end of the year. He kind of like waned a little bit middle of the season for me because he was giving up a lot of home runs. But he showed up big in the postseason, so he impressed me. So I'm cool with that.
I'm a big Strom fan.
Yeah, I think all the free agent or the extensions that they did were perfect. I have no issue with any of them. I thought they would have brought back Lorenzen. But I understand why they didn't, just because like he fell off immediately after that no-hitter that he threw for us last year. Like everything just went downhill and he couldn't be trusted anymore. But
did he sign as a starter with the Rangers or is he in the bullpen?
I didn't see where they're going to be putting him. I don't know that, but
he's from my understanding,
huh?
He's probably a starter. He's been a starter his whole career.
Yeah. From my understanding is that he was going to sign as a starter. So I assume it. But yeah, I had no issues with any of the other extensions. The length, perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about Nola, but I've always been worried about Nola.
Yeah, Nola's gonna be Nola.
It's 7 years, and given like back and forth, we got the odd number on that one, so we're good.
Yeah, so he's gonna have the bounce back year this year. We all know that's going to happen, which is awesome. But I just hope everyone else has that bounce back year as well.
I thought it was interesting that MLB.com didn't put Nola in the Cy Young consideration. They put Wheeler, but they didn't put Nola for the NL Cy Young.
That's because everyone views Wheeler as a better pitcher. And, I mean, he is. So I think that's probably why they just kind of went off of aces of the staffs that are up there, and they just picked Wheeler. Nola, he's going to give you what he gives you. He gives you 6 great innings. He always has that one really fucking shit inning.
It's the RAV4 inning. That's what they named it after. It's always the RAV4 fourth inning.
Let's just hope he figures out how to get out of that one inning. I know he's spring training, he's looked a little rough, but he always looks rough in spring training because he's always trying to throw new pitches.
Yeah.
So he's always like experimenting and figuring it out. And then he comes out opening day and usually shits on the Braves. So that's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
One little piece of off-season topic before we move on to the 2024 season as a whole. Rhys Hoskins, Milwaukee Brewer. How are we feeling?
Sad. But I understand why they didn't bring him back, but it's sad.
I have a theory, but I want to know what you guys are feeling. So if you're sad, Tyler, how do you feel about Rhys heading to Milwaukee?
Fuck him. He's a Brewer now, bro.
Wow.
Don't need him. No, I'm just kidding. I love Rhys. He did great things. I will always remember his initial come up for, was it 2017, when he got called up to the majors in like late July. Mm-hmm. And went on a tear, hitting like 23 home runs and like 78 at bats or some shit. It was awesome. It was great to be there. It was fun. It made the Phillies fun again. That was like the start of them being enjoyable to go watch and seeing the crowd show back up to Citizens Bank Park. But yeah, he's a Brewer now, so like whatever, fuck him. If he comes back to Philly, I'll love him again. But now he's the enemy.
So my theory, and I'll just throw there as like conspiracy theory, his contract is structured in such a way that he can opt out the same time Schwarber becomes a free agent again. Do you think that was intentional?
Absolutely not.
I think it was. I think Schwarb's times here in Philly are numbered. Reese is taking that DH spot. Fuck, no. Fuck Schwarber and his shits.
Listen, if that's the way they wanted to do it, they would have just re-signed Hoskins now, and then they would have just left Schwarber in left field to be a fucking embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment at DH.
They're gonna move. When is his contract up?
How is he an embarrassment at DH? Two. That's the part I don't understand. I'm gonna argue off this.
DH. Fred Flintstone running.
He's a DH. All he's supposed to do is just hit homers and You're do nothing right. else.
They get out of the leadoff spot, Mr. He's not, DH.
Well, that's you gotta go talk to Rob Thompson. He's the one that puts him in the leadoff spot.
Does he? Because I feel like there's two guys in that clubhouse that can kind of go like, ah, I'm not doing that. And they go, ah, you're right. You're batting third, Bryce, and you're batting first, Schwarber.
Nah.
But I think what's going to happen is I think that in the next 2 years, when Schwarber's contract is up, Bryce Harper's going to DH.
No.
Boehm's going to first, and then they're bringing Aiden Miller up to play third.
Absolutely not.
Aiden Miller is the freaking stud among studs. He's going to be the freaking next Mike Schmidt.
Listen, I'm not 100%. Disagreeing with this theory in Aiden Miller. The thing I disagree with is I feel like Boehm would DH before Harper DHs. Harper is going to have to be in like a wheelchair in order for him to be a DH. And I still think he's going to be faster than Schwarber and everyone else in a wheelchair. So, I get what you're saying, and I get the idea behind that, but, I mean, Harper's already better defensively at first base than Boehm is, so why wouldn't you
switch with the other one? One of them is going to be DH, or Nick Castellanos, and then Harper goes back to right field.
I think Boehm's days in Phillies are numbered. Only because he went into arbitration, why didn't they just extend him?
Oh, no. There's been plenty of Phillies that gone to arbitration that stay long. Utley, Howard, they all went into arbitration.
I think as much as it's going to break Jess's heart, I don't think Boehm's a forever Philly.
Don't watch this, Jess.
That people probably walks in the next few minutes and hear me talking shit on Boehm. Not that I'm talking shit. I just think he's worth it. And Aiden Miller being as good as potentially as good as he's going to be. Bryce blocking first. I think Boehm is just – he's probably the piece that's going to fall.
I do think it depends, and it depends on Aiden Miller's progression. Because if Aiden Miller is, you know – that above and beyond what Boehm's doing at the time, then I'd probably either move on from him or we're going to find something else for him.
I also think that's another reason why Dombrowski didn't sign Jordan Montgomery or another starter, because they expect Mick Abel. So I think he's coming. I don't know if it's going to be in what capacity, but he's supposed to be amazing. And then they have obviously Painter going to come tomorrow, going to come next year. So allegedly they could get him back for the postseason from what people are saying. Yeah.
No, but I don't know if Forrest
is going to allow that. That's the only issue.
Why would you make a rookie coming back from Tom and John?
I agree, but that's what the inside
his timetable could be.
Yeah.
I am huge on Mick Abel. I think he will be our fifth starter by probably July.
How do you feel about Sanchez?
He's a bullpen arm. I think he sticks around. Like, I don't think they definitely don't designate for assignment or anything unless he has like a real shitty couple months. But I don't see that happening. He was too good last year. You know, like he's too consistent. I'll put it that way. I'm not gonna say he's great. He's but he's a steady arm. Like, he's not gonna blow you away, but at the same time, he's also not really like the guy that's going out there to get shelled for 15.
Do you think if he looks as good as he did last year, that he takes over Taijuan Walker's spot, and then we trade Taijuan Walker for some prospects? I'm talking about like low A prospects, because Walker
he's got no value right now.
Yeah.
If you think about it, just because of not being used in the postseason and then kind of starting on the DIL for the opening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not a hot market for him.
Definitely depends on what Taiwan Walker does. But if he comes back and he does what he did last year, he'll be fine. I'm higher on Taiwan Walker than I know definitely you two are, and probably most Phillies fans. I don't know why. There's no real reason. I mean, other than the fact that he went out there and he had the most wins for all Philly starting pitchers.
He had a shit first inning every game. And they just got lucky that the offense got behind him.
But after that's the thing, though. He has such a shit first inning. But he's Nola, just he uses the first inning instead of the fourth inning.
It's a smarter tactic because the team goes, oh, shit, we got to get out of this hole. Whereas, like, oh, we're comfortable. Nola's doing great. And then all of a sudden we're in a hole and then we're
and
fine.
That's why he got the wins because, you know, like the offense goes out and goes, oh, Nola's pitching. We got a couple innings to get into this. And then when, you know, Taiwan's out there, they're like, oh, yeah, we should probably turn this shit up right away. You got Harper, you know, swinging for the fences first at bat, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Harper, is that concerning at all to you?
Not at all. Yeah, his whole back tightness, stiffness was literally just him getting a week's vacation during spring training.
Having too much sex with his wife. That's what it was.
He's pregnant again. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad he's having a child.
So that's going to do us for the off-season talk. Now we're going to go into the 2024 season as it is. So opening weekend is this weekend, and this is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Atlanta Braves. First matchup, Wheeler versus Strider, which I thought it was interesting. I was watching a spring training game the other day, and they said that those two have never aligned for a game. Has it always been Nola versus Strider when they did it in the off-season or the postseason?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
All right, so how do you feel about that? Spencer Strider, of course, he's coming into the Citizens Bank Park with a raucous crowd. Opening day it might as well just be postseason hangover because it's going to be sold out. It's going to be fucking nuts.
Well, their manager's terrified. Like it's insane that he told his wife, "Don't wear Atlanta Braves gear," even though a couple years ago he said that the fans are nothing. Like, everything's fine. They're not as hostile as everyone thinks they are. But then he just came out in an interview and said, oh, I tell my wife that, A, don't even come to the Citizens Bank Park, or B, don't, like, associate with any Atlanta Braves gear at all. Just come and just sit there and don't say anything. So between that and Strider basically folding under the pressure last year, in the same situation, dealing with the postseason and our hell of a crowd that we have, I'm not worried about the first day, opening day. Like, I imagine that we'll win, but it's going to obviously be a low-scoring game. It's, you know, Strider versus Wheeler, so it's going to be like 2-1 or 3-2, something like that. It's not going to be much, but I think we come out with the win. And other than that, the rest of the weekend is going to be rough. Again, I don't have faith in Nola, so I can't say that he's going to get the victory, but who's our third starter? Suarez. Yeah, he's going to get the win. So probably go two games out of this weekend.
See, I think it's going to be the opposite. I love Wheels, but I think that we're going to drop that first game.
Tyler, your thoughts? First game to drop.
Nah, see, first game we're winning 5-2. It's going to be 2-2 when Strider and Wheeler exit the game. It's going to go on the bullpen, and your boy Strom's going to, you know, come up big. He's going to come in for a big situation. No, I think the Phillies win 2-1, or 2 out of 3. I don't know which. I assume opening day and then probably Sunday. But Saturday, I don't think it's really going to be on Nola. I think it's going to be more the, you know, who we use in the bullpen, who's going to be the issue.
Yeah, because especially if it rains on Thursday and they have to push it back to Friday, that's going to be rough. We know how trigger happy Thompson is with the bullpen, so that could be an issue. You're right.
Well, I just feel like they're going to be the first time probably a couple of them go back to back. Like, they're probably going to pitch, we'll say, Sir Anthony probably in both games or Jose in both games. So it's the first time. So one of them's going to probably have an error.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm confident. I think this is going to be a good season. I think we actually fight the Braves for the division this year. I don't know if we win it, but I think we fight. I don't think it's going to be a runaway like it has been the past couple of seasons. I think we get much closer because I don't think the Braves sustain what they did last year.
There's no way. Like
Olson, Albies, like they had insane years. They're not going back to it. I think Acuna could probably have another similar season. I think he's
if he stays healthy.
But I don't see Olson doing it. I mean, Austin Riley, he was pretty good last year. He'll probably be consistent. I just don't see the pitching. I think they're putting too much faith in Chris Sale being a good third guy for them, which I don't think he's going to be good at all. I think he's going to get fucking rocked, especially on Easter.
Postseason resurrected, bitch.
Yeah, I have the Phillies. I mean, I know we were talking about it earlier. I guess they're at 89 games for the over-under. 89 and a half, whatever. I have them on the over. I actually have them winning 96 games this year.
Oof. I have over two, but I'm at like 91, 92.
I have an easy 96. I think it's they don't win more because later in the year they're just kind of chilling.
Mm-hmm.
I like the chilling fact.
The moment they get into the postseason in September to pull off the gas.
Yeah, like I just think they're not going to have that sense of I won't say not the sense of urgency. They won't have that need to win in September like they have in past years, where it's like, you know, they have to make that wild card spot. I think they're going to be in the comfortable spot where, you know, they're going to win. They're going to keep winning, but they don't need that win because they were pretty comfortable with either the top wild card spot or being the division winner.
Mm-hmm. So I think the opening weekend is going to be interesting. I think they'll win Nola's game just because I feel like Nola is the opener for, like, I know the tradition is the homegrown boy doing the opening game, but I feel like the pressure being off of him just being like, yeah, I am number two. He'll pitch better. And honestly, I don't think our bats are going to be ready for Thursday. I don't see it in Casty. And that's a guy that I really like. I don't see it in Schwarber, and that's a guy I really fucking hate.
He's coming out first inning, Schwarber.
I don't think so. He's going to have sand in his vagina and have to take the fucking DL again.
The DL?
The IL. Come on.
Down Schwarber low because he has a vagina.
Schwarber hasn't even been on the IL since he joined the Phillies.
He had – that's because he just gets 9 days or whatever. And then doesn't want to do the 10-day or whatever. He's a little bitch. Can't stand him. He's not good. Can't feel.
He is good. Stop. He is good.
No, he's not. He's not.
You don't hit, I think that's the only thing.
You don't hit 97 home runs in two seasons and not be good.
I think that's the only thing that Thompson has done right is rested him properly to make sure that he was ready to go in the playoffs.
The guy that doesn't do anything.
Well, he did 2 years ago.
What do you mean? The energy he had was when he yelled at Angel.
Played 170 games last year.
You're using the word "played" very loosely. He was there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
He gave him. I mean, the days off. He gave him some days off here and there. I think he rested him. He had more of a plan with Schwarber than he did with his own bullpen.
All right. Still sucks.
Listen, we'll have a special episode on me and you arguing Schwarber alone.
Yes, we'll do it at the halfway part of the season when he's batting .087
halfway point
two home
runs. Is usually when he's hot, so it's fine.
I wish I had a job where I could start 2 months late and still get paid a lot of money. Like, oh, it's June. Let's fucking rock and roll. Let's ignore April and May. Yeah. Those aren't important.
Gatorade is flowing.
I don't like him. I just just don't.
Don't you have a shirt that says Schwarbaum?
I have the Schwarber Fest thing from Wawa because I think you put it in a chat and I just said, oh, I'll retweet it or whatever. And they
you got it first before everyone reason. Else.
Yeah, I think
somebody was
not
running
me.
Somebody that was running the account saw the irony and thought it was funny. Like, oh, I see all his tweets where he's shitting on Schwarber. Let's send him a Schwarber Fest shirt.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a good year. Like Tyler said, I think they're going to get 92 wins and they'll be fighting with the first place Braves. But I don't think they're going to win the division. I think they'll be top wild card. It's going to be rough.
I think the Braves are going to collapse.
I also agree with that. I think that I won't say collapse, but the Braves aren't going to have a stellar season like they've had in the past couple. Like I don't think they're there. And I also think that they have the mentality of, well, us doing really good in the regular season doesn't really fucking matter because we keep getting destroyed by the Phillies. So maybe we should just chill out, just skate into the postseason and see how that goes for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really want to get on that argument of like, oh, this down week is bullshit. Go take the wild card. See what happens.
That could be interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have confidence if we got the won the division and got a bye week. I'd be terrified. I'd be stressing that entire week of like, oh, great. We're just, you know, we won it done. This is the step stool down that we talked about.
Where are you at for the over-under?
I think they're over 90. I don't know the specific, like I wouldn't say like 96. I think that's a little high for them. Probably 90 even. Cause to Tyler's point, once September hits, depending what the picture looks like, they pull off the gas. And even when they were like trying to fight to get in, they were pulling off the goddamn gas in 2022. They had that weird 14 game stretch where they won like two, and it's like you just have to win three, and you're in.
Yeah.
So it's they've got a weird
team
September.
Pretty
much same team. Only difference is Reese isn't there.
Oh no, I meant mentality wise.
Oh, that's fair. Well, I actually like them when they have the underdog mentality. I think they do better. I think when they did like, if we go back to 2010, when they were like top dog mentality, obviously that was a big fucking kick in the nuts when they got to the postseason.
I think last year plays a big role in how well they do this year. I think they're all real salty about how last year ended, and not in a bad way. Like not like a lot of teams they get that way. They're all upset about it. Like I think they're just motivated. Like I think they're all ready to come in, put their heads down, and just grind the season out and be like, no, like we're not ending that way again.
Yeah,
it really seems like if you listen to all their answers every time they talk, it's NLCS is bare minimum and they're ready to fight and claw tooth and nail all the way up to it at least and then go further.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants the World Series and the ring, so I think they're all on a common goal. So I think that part's awesome. That part's good for your team, especially like you said, you brought in Witt. You know, who's a veteran, like you're bringing in, re-signing all your veteran pitchers and everything like that. Everyone knows what it takes. And it's not like you're depending on any rookies.
I do think that's a bold tactic. Because if you think about the offseason this year, they went, no, we have the team.
Yeah.
We're going to the World Series with the team that we built. With the addition of Witt is, I think, a hell of an addition. But basically, hey, we have the pieces. Everybody is healthy coming up except for Taiwan. And even that's like, okay, whatever. But like our 1 through 9 is healthy. And this is the first time our opening day 1 through 9 is what it's supposed to fucking be.
Yeah.
Mickey Moniak breaking his hand the day before the end of the spring training.
Reese blowing his fucking ACL.
Yeah.
Bryce not starting the last two seasons.
Yeah, with the Tommy John.
That's going to be the big difference there. Bryce actually setting the tone early in the season and getting a chance to actually defend. This is the first time he gets a chance to actually defend his MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I you can tell that he's motivated beyond belief. Everything that he's saying and doing, and like he's been out there. They've been showing videos left and right about him being out there at the first base and just doing drill work longer than everybody else. Like, dude, you've been in the league since what, 2012 or something like that? Mm-hmm. You've been in the league for a long time, since you were like 17 years old, and you're still doing drill work longer than everyone else. Like, you can tell that.
I mean, the only thing
that he wants is that chip.
My man is moving to a new position, so he's got it. And I'm glad to see that he's out there doing that.
He's the next Larry Boa, throwing fucking batting practice at age 89 or whatever the fuck Larry Boa's age is.
Nah, man, if it's up to Bryce Harper, he's still going to be playing at 89. Like, come on, let's be real. He wants to add an extension to his 13-year deal. He wants another 13. Like,
yep.
You got to relax with that. That's the only thing, like, during the offseason, I'm, like, questioning, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, dude.
I don't
hate it. I like it because it shows, like, he's always said the right things, but it's really showing how much he wants to be in this city and how he just wants to retire here. Because mm-hmm. he knows he wants to play until probably 45. So if he wants to extend himself to that point, that means he wants to be here the entire time.
I wouldn't extend him. I would just give him more money.
You can't just give him more money. You have to extend him with it. But that's not how contracts work, dude.
Okay, yeah, 1 year, but money. Another $15 million a year, though.
Yeah. Have fun.
Restructure it. Pay him out when he's like 80. Do the Ohtani deal. This way he doesn't gamble it. If he doesn't have it, he can't gamble it. Or his interpreter can't.
I think that's why Ohtani got the contracts that he did, so he didn't get all the money up front.
I have a gambling addiction. I can't have it right now. Push it to the end.
He knew his interpreter had a gambling addiction, so he was just trying to make sure he didn't have the money.
Yeah, that's true.
So other things that we want to talk about for 2024 before we wrap up the show, who do you think's good? So everybody has to send an all-star. I'm hoping that's not the case with us where we have to reluctantly, like, oh, we got to take a guy from the Phillies. Who do you think's going to be one of our all-stars this year, if not multiple?
So I think we have, I would say, three all-stars. I think Trey Turner is going to get it this season.
Okay.
I would go probably Harper. I mean, now that he's not in the DH role, he can actually win it as at a position. I think Harper wins it, and then I think it's Nola. I think Nola gets it.
Yeah. Eric?
I think we have four. Harper, Turner, Stott, and Alvarado.
I like that.
I'll go with four. Bryce, I think, is going to end up being like one of the best first basemen in the National League. He's going to have tough competition against Freeman when it comes to the All-Star voting. I think Wheeler will get the nod over Nola, just because MLB.com sucking his dick. Turner, I think this is his bounce back season. And I'm going to go with JT. I think he's going to have a bounce back catcher season because he seems fired up. And that's a guy that has like no emotion in all his pictures.
Best catcher in baseball, baby.
Because he has five kids, man.
That is the face of somebody who has five kids running around them as you're taking a portrait.
That's why they said last year that when he was away, he had much better stats. Like, his split stats were so much better when he was away from home.
Because the kids weren't at the hotel.
Yeah. He wasn't home dealing with five freaking kids running around constantly.
I could see that. But I think he's going to have a bounce back year because at least at the catcher's position, he's who's his competition?
No one.
The Braves. The Braves, he had
Sean Murphy, Will Smith from the Dodgers, the catcher from the Baltimore. Diamondbacks.
Oh, we're NL, you're talking, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me nervous about Turner, isn't Turner up against Mookie?
Now he is. Yeah.
Just because he's not the first, like, I'm not saying these are all-star starters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying all-stars in general.
Okay.
All right, so this leads into another thing that I was gonna say. What is bold prediction for the season? My bold prediction is Aaron Nola, and I've told you guys, is a Cy Young winner, and I think he along with this becomes the all-star starter for the NL. I think he has a very good year. I think he gets back to the year when he was fighting DeGrom for the ERA lead. I don't know if the ERA is going to be necessarily that low, because I don't think anyone's in baseball really stays that low anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think he figures it out this year. I think the biggest thing I'm hoping, and I think he does figure out, is the home runs, the random bullshit home runs that just come out of nowhere. I think he figures that out this season.
What's your bold position?
The only bold prediction I can come up with is Turner winning MVP. And that's like, I don't see a Cy Young. Wheeler, maybe he gets the nod because he should have got it 2 years ago, and then he was on the verge of getting it last year, and all of a sudden he kind of had like a rough, August or September, so he didn't get it. But yeah, the bold prediction, I think Turner's going to come out on fire. He knows the city. He knows the expectations. He knows how to handle things. So I think he's going to have a lot steadier of a year. And then Stott's finally going to get his gold glove. I think he's been deserving of it especially last year. Should have got it last year. Didn't.
Definitely should have got it last year.
He was fucking robbed. Yeah, I think he was robbed of an all-star selection as well.
Yeah. So I think he'll get his gold glove. It's not really a bold prediction, though. But, yeah, that's probably it.
Nice.
What about you?
Bold prediction? That's a good question. I was going to say Bryson makes a run at that all-star at second base, because I think he is one of the best second basemen, especially now that Mookie has moved to shortstop.
He was still a better second baseman than him.
Yeah, but I think if he keeps up the batting average that he had last year, he could make a good run, and I don't think Albies will get it this year.
Yeah. Any, but not bold predictions, but any, like, silver sluggers or gold gloves on this team, you think?
I think JT will be a silver slugger. I think he's going to have a big year. Boom, gold glove. Nolan Arenado is just going to die, and he's going to get it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's a bold prediction right there.
If Arenado doesn't play a full year, he still deserves a gold glove over Boom.
He's going to collide into Riley at third as he's rounding the base, and they both die. And then Boom.
Riley's terrible defensively. He ain't getting no gold glove.
That's a hell of a bold prediction right there. That's even.
Did you not see that catch in spring training?
Oh, the spry
as fuck.
Spry as fuck.
Dude, I think gonna be able to do that again.
If we're talking gold gloves, I think Ranger finally gets the gold glove that he deserves.
Yeah. He missed it out on innings, right? Because he was hurt.
He missed it by like five innings, too. He missed one game. Yeah. That was essentially all he missed, was one game, and he didn't get the innings allowed or whatever. Which he would have ran away with it.
Didn't they give it – like, I forget who they gave it to, but it was like some worthless pitcher. Not worthless, but definitely didn't deserve it more than him.
Do you think Bryce makes a run at it against Freeman?
Gold glove? I don't know about gold glove. I think silver slugger he can get. I think he can get that over Freeman. That's tough, Brett, because he did well. He did well, but he's not a gold glove first baseman. You want to put him back out in right field? He was getting there, but there's just like little things that I would sit there and watch him during the playoffs, and I'm like, I know how to play first base better than you. And that, you know, but I grew up playing the position, so I learned the fundamentals of it. And I'm no way saying I'm better than Bryce Harper in anything, but I know how to do it better.
So, bold prediction, Rhys Hoskins gets the gold glove and says, fuck you to the entire league.
That's a bold prediction.
If we're going to Rhys hits 50 home runs. That's bold prediction. That. He just sits in the four hole in Milwaukee and just crushes everything. He just gets enjoyment and entertainment out of watching their mascot go down the slide.
God, I hope he's the home run king. Schwarber's like eighth.
So, Christian Walker was the one that won first base last year for Gold Glove.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He's a D-bag.
The second base was Nico Horner for the Cubs.
I could see that. Nico's really good.
He's not even a second baseman. I mean, he is, but he isn't. I feel like he plays all over.
Third base. He bounces back between shortstop and second.
Yeah.
Third base was Ke'Bryan Hayes, Pirates. Shortstop was Swanson. Catcher was Gabriel Moreno for the D-backs. I said the pitcher was worthless. It was Zach Wheeler.
The funny thing is I had a feeling it was Wheeler, but I wasn't going to say that while you were talking shit.
That's shit. Awesome.
So we're talking about the high of highs here, but I would say every season's kind of had a low point. 2022 was Joe Girardi. Last year, we'll just say Craig Kimbrell because he's gone. What do you think is going to be the bust on the team? Something we were expecting, but kind of fucks up.
Kimbrell fucking pissed me off this spring training because he picked up a changeup or curveball or some new pitch that he's never seen before. He's been throwing
He threw the first changeup of his career ever against Bryson Stott in spring training.
Yeah, just picked it up this year. And then he struck out the side or something like that. Like, he did phenomenal. He's been doing phenomenal with that changeup this spring.
Kimbrell is going to look great between the month of April and the month of July. He's always been a great first half pitcher. He is gassed at the end of the year. That was his issue against us. He can't pitch that many innings.
Well, maybe their coach or manager will actually use him properly. Listen,
you just think that because you're an Orioles fan too. But no, he's going to shit the bed. It's going to be too hot for him. He's going to be crying in the corner. Fuck Craig Kimbrell, all right?
It's going to be an awkward World Series when it's the Orioles versus the Phillies.
It will. Right. When we crush one against them, it's going to be super awkward, especially when it's a changeup and Bryson Stott destroys them.
What's going to crush us this year is that fourth and fifth starter. I think we're only going to have a three-man rotation, and once we get to either or, no matter who's in there, I think that is just what's going to do us in, and it's going to kind of be like what it was for, I forget what month it was. Was it August? Where every time the fifth starter came up, you knew it was a loss.
Is that when they were splitting it between two people?
Yeah.
I think it might have been 2022.
Okay. Well, whatever that was, that's what I'm worried about again, is that we don't really have the starting pitching that we need. Mm-hmm. And
Nick Abel, baby.
Well, yeah, but I don't know when he's going to be brought up because of service time and all that bullshit.
So why?
I don't know how this Spencer Turnbull or whatever the hell his name is. Like, I don't know how he's going to be. He pitched a no-hitter 2 years ago for Detroit, and he hasn't really been the same since and hasn't really been the reliable for them.
He hasn't been the same because he got Tommy John surgery. Goofball. Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect from our fourth and fifth starters. And I guess that's a good thing. Like, you know what to expect from your 1 through 9, but you don't know what to expect from your 4 and 5. I guess that's good.
All right, the thing that's going to kill us, and it's going to be probably I'll go until the trade deadline, it's going to be our bullpen again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the back end of the bullpen because Rob Thompson can't just name a goddamn closer. I don't know how long Kirk Ring's out. I know he's on the IL with I don't even know what his injury actually is.
He had the flu and didn't bounce back properly from the flu. It's kind of like the same fucking shit that Scott Kingery had.
So he had COVID. but yeah, I don't think it gets figured out until they go out and make a big trade. I think, and that's another, I guess, bold prediction. I think they make a huge trade. For someone to close, like to be a closer. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really mess with starting pitching too much. They might go and get like another Lorenzen type person, but I think the biggest trade we make and hopefully ails or fixes it is someone in the back end of the bullpen.
That's my terror. Like, that's what terrifies me too, is the bullpen. On paper, it's the same bullpen that was there last year. So to Eric's point at the beginning of the show where they're saying, like, hey, this is one of the best bullpens in the league. Yeah, I guess in theory it could be, but in practice it's not the best. I also think they're running into a problem with the whole options thing, because isn't it Connor Brogdon and I thought there was one more. Basically, if they don't cut it, they're getting DFA'd. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of, you know, where those the players that are at that spot, like Brogdon, I mean, he's kind of at that point where you either figure it out this year, mm-hmm. or you're not going to figure it out. So, I mean, either you get sent somewhere else or you get off our 40-man roster and you go down low.
And that's what they did with Jake Cave. They had to figure out if it was Jake Cave or Christian Pache who was going to be on the team, and they chose Pache over him. That's why they traded Cave, because he had ran out of options.
Did either of you see the interview with Jake Cave with the Rockies, where he was basically crying about getting traded on the last day?
No.
It is what it is. I never expected on the last day of spring training to get traded. And I'm just like, bro, that's when everyone gets traded. Like, you're either getting the roster spot or you're getting traded. Like, you're not going to get the roster spot. So, like, you should be happy that a team wanted you enough to trade for you so you'd be on a roster. Like, I don't know why you're crying about this right now.
I'd be a little butthurt that I got traded for cash.
Bro, I mean, why though? You get a roster spot, like, especially when you're a player in JK's situation, where it's like, okay, either I'm getting a roster spot or I'm going to be in, I have to go to the minors. Like, I'd rather go play in the MLB, like the majors, with a fucking shitty team like the Rockies than be mm-hmm. playing in the minor leagues for a good team like the Phillies.
How much cash do you think they're traded for? Is it just to cover their salary, or is it like,
essentially, it's to cover like signing bonuses and stuff?
Yeah.
They gave him a nickel.
Here's Wendy's Frosty, the keychain for the year. Here's the Wendy's Frosty keychain.
Free Frosties for life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, or it's enough money to buy a washer machine. I mean, that could be it too.
We're going to be able to clean these Fanatic jerseys thanks to Jake Cave.
Can't clean those. Come on. You know the color all washes out from the Fanatics jerseys.
Imperial disintegrates.
So they made it so you have to buy a new one every game.
The t-shirts suck that they make, man. All mine are ruined from last year.
Ruined.
Yeah, they all like shrank. The collars are like twisted all up. And
did they shrink, Eric? Or did you get bigger?
They shrank. Listen, man, I lost 57 pounds from last year, okay?
Listen, I ain't got no room to talk. I probably gained 57 pounds. I probably gained all the weight that you lost.
So we're going to go ahead and close out the podcast. What are your final thoughts on the Phillies in 2024? Eric, we'll start with you.
Thompson's going to be manager of the year. And we're going to go deep into the playoffs. We're going to make another World Series run. We're going to get to the World Series. It's going to be against the Orioles, and it's going to be the best World Series that has ever happened.
Bookmark this and listen to it in September.
And I'm not going to say who wins or loses.
Tyler, how do you feel about 2024?
2024 is going to be a magical year. You know, I think it's a Game 6 victory in the World Series against them Crashers. I think we get redemption against them.
Nice.
I'll see you on Broad Street.
Nah, yeah. You don't get to come to Broad Street and enjoy the Cy Young celebration with me.
Yeah, Stubbs is doing the whole planning, and you can't be there since you have no faith in Stubbs.
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking Stubbs. Go dive in that pool.
The man. Well, I'm excited for it. I missed baseball. I've been watching. I mean, I know we said it wasn't a lackluster offseason, but it wasn't as exciting as we were hoping. Given the big names that were out there, and fuck Japan for wanting to stay on the West Coast. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to doing more of these podcasts as we get rolling with the season, because we can break down the actual gameplay. We had high hopes
High hopes.
To do this podcast through the winter, but when the Phillies decided, like, yeah, are you going to do anything? Kind of killed the vibe. But we're back. We'll be talking Phillies weekly, hopefully. And I guess it's going to do it for us. So, got anything to plug?
Nope.
I'll see y'all Saturday for tailgating.
Oh yeah. Come search us out in the lots.
We'll be the guy with Jason Kelce.
Yeah, we're inviting Jason Kelce to our tailgate.
Yep. You'll see him right there. No denying it. He's got a lot of free time now. So he's gonna hang with the Jersey Fanatic. Awesome. I listen to a Day's Tackle of Mine. It drops every Monday. I got something that goes on. And then hopefully we'll bring back some Pod Nerds because there's a lot of TV and movies out there right now. So we'll see what happens with that. And just make sure you stick to facebook.com/basementprotocol to get all the announcements and all the goodies that we're doing as we gear towards hopefully a new show in June. So do we have an outro?
Yep. No.
Yep.
Yep. We're dancing on my own.
Yeah. So we'll be dancing on our own. We'll see you next time. I've been Chris Days Van Days. He's been Eric Rezzo.
Thank you.
He's been Tyler Freed.
Nope.
And we'll see you next time, Basement Dwellers. Deuces.